welcome. I can't pretend I wasn't humming along with the theme song. I think you caught me. I'm not going to go back and change it. I like that. I like that you caught me enjoying the song. This is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, and I'm Hardy White, and we're about to have an experience together. We're going to hear things. We're going to go places. We're going to come back from places. We're going to look at things, and possibly we'll see them. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee you'll see anything. I love playing in a field. I could run around this field all day. Hey, what's this? It looks like a well. Hey, it looks pretty deep. Hello?
Hello.
I'll just crawl over this to get a better look.
Whoop.
Hey, I fell down a well. Anybody? Hello? Oh, this is really, really bad. I'd be willing to promise anything to get out of this well.
Hello, little boy.
Hello.
Looks like you've fallen into a well.
I have. I'd promise anything to get out.
What do you mean?
Other than you're a troll, right? So I was thinking we could do a bargain.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm a troll. I'm not a troll exactly, but I'm just having fun. Look, I can get you out of here, and not only that, but get you your own show.
Really?
What kind of show would you like?
Well, like a children's show, but therapeutically disorienting.
It can be done. But you must promise me one thing.
What?
What is something that you could be forced to do but would never do on your own? Some sacrifice, maybe.
I have no idea.
Well, look, you think about it. I'm going to grant your wish, and when you settle on a sacrifice or tribute or something, you let me know.
Oh, okay, great.
Think irony. When you're coming up with something. That's sort of the feel I'm looking for.
Oh, all right. All right, well, thank you, troll.
Oh, thank you.
Man, this is the worst.
The worst?
Ugh. So terrible, right?
Nothing quite so not great at all.
What's wrong with you guys today?
We're bored.
Yeah.
Bored? There's nothing to be bored about. Why are you bored?
We aren't really. You told us to say that for the show, man. I'm rarely bored.
Lou, I know. We're doing that right now.
Man, you're an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
Butchie, he's not an idiot.
I just made a mistake.
Sorry. Idiots make a disproportionate amount of mistakes, so I jumped to conclusions.
Let's start over.
Man, this is the worst.
Now I'm actually bored, so I can method act.
To be honest, I'm pretty bored, too. We don't have a ton of lines, either.
How can you guys be bored? You could go to the park, or travel to a sacred mountain in a flying house,
or sail on a vaudeville pirate ship. You could go somewhere. You could dream dive. You could look at a thing.
There sounds like there's a lot of things to do.
There are. Hey, are those things we are going to do on the show today? Oh, Lord, please give that line to Lou. This is painful. Yes, those are things we're going to do on the show today. Go into the park. Yes. The park they paved over for a highway. Well, some of it they paved over. But there's a little strip there. That's easement.
Well, we can walk and play there.
Play? Play what?
Bocce.
You're gonna play bocce on a 3-foot strip of grass between the highway and a 10-foot concrete wall?
Okay, frisbee.
Do people take children there?
It's sad, but a frightening and dangerous impractical park is better than none at all.
Oh, brother.
Come and play in the park today. All the children play in the park today. Come and stay in the park today. We will laugh and play in the park today. Today is the day we will have our way. There's a new highway in the park.
Come and play.
The skies are gray, but we're here to stay.
Come and play in the park today.
Today in the park, in the park. The children play on the new highway. It's a brand new day in the park. In the park,
come and play.
All the children play. It's a gray old day. It's a gray highway in the park.
Come and play in the park today.
So I would love to be able to fly in something the size of not an airplane, but an airplane hangar.
Like the Hindenburg?
No, the actual living space in that was tiny. I mean, I want to ride in something the size of the Sober City Mall.
You wouldn't even know you were flying.
Exactly. I board the mall. It takes flight while I do some browsing, eat a pretzel, take a nap in a massage chair, and the next thing you know, I step out into New Jersey.
The department store smell everybody talks about is a combination of synthetic petroleum products and esters.
Well, I don't know about a flying mall, but I know one young person who has a flying house.
That sounds pretty pointless.
Wow, this I gotta see.
And you're going to.
I'm so sorry. My family has a flying house. It's like a regular house, but it flies. The flight bridge is in the attic. You can see out a window to tell where you're going. My mom pilots the house, but we all help get it up in the air. We take the flying house to festivals and fairs, but we also go to sky scrambles. That's where other people with flying houses get together and compete to reach Lot Mountain. If you land your house on Lot Mountain, you win. My family hasn't won yet, but we've been to 3 scrambles so far. My job is to drop ballast. When I throw my sister's things out the window, she gets mad. But you have to make the house light or it won't float. Our house's name is Don. He's really nice and helps us navigate if the weather is cloudy. I like having a flying house named Don and my family. Bye.
It must be cool to have a flying house or a family.
Flying houses are a money pit. I was going to go in on one with friends, but I'm glad it fell through.
My family never had any kind of difficult-to-operate vehicle to bond over. Our neighbors collected mobiles, though.
Mobiles? You mean mobiles?
No, mobiles. Like when a business or movie or something makes a theme vehicle. They had a shrimp mobile and a wizard mobile and a golf cart shaped like a human skull. The last one was electric and really quiet, very spooky.
I'd be down to own some kind of spaceship.
We have a real time machine.
Yeah, frankly, that's a little square. I feel self-conscious riding in it, like somewhere between a green moped and a Segway.
It's closer to the flying house end of the spectrum.
Which is cool. So there you go. You know what's also cool? Seeing things.
Like hallucinations?
No, I mean being curious and looking.
Aren't looking and seeing different?
Well, let's see.
I think that I will never see. And that really doesn't bother me. I never see any time I look. I just think I do, right? I was a house and had no eyes. I came to quickly realize that what I saw was just a part of what there was to look at. The eye can take in all the light and make a picture from the sight and process this inside the mind, but that interpretation is contingent on so many things. So if you're missing a sense, my friend, your feeling things just doesn't end. You use all nerves to sense the world, and the image of that is entirely in your mind either way. So you take these things in, whether it's light or sound, you know, sort of assemble a picture of the world, and it's just a shadow of what there really is. I don't know what you can do with that. All right. Enjoy.
So what I'm seeing more and more is that I didn't do any fun stuff with my family.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
No, I believe him. If it makes you feel better to believe he did, then go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lou. I believe you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to doubt your experience.
Thanks. I don't blame my family. I think they just forgot.
Forgot what?
Well, like to do things with me, or pass down family lore, or a trade, or any information at all. My grandma did say don't sleep with your shoes under the bed, and something else about earaches, but I forgot. Well, that one's on me.
My grandparents would take me window shopping at night when the shops were closed. My grandpa didn't like crowds, so we'd go downtown at night and look at the shop windows. I liked not having to go in.
I'm sure my family did something together. We played Rook.
Some kids have adventures. That's why I hated kid shows when I was a kid. They always showed some kid whose folks had a grocery store or an amusement park. Flip that kid, right? We owned a Buick Skylark and a beach house at Cape Lunts. Everything else was rented. Even my Aunt Lise.
If I'm so stupid, why did I get your joke?
All right, very good. 3 points.
I don't get it.
The aunt's a rental. You're looking but not seeing, maybe, Hardy.
Well, all I know is that ships are seeing,
Oh, Segway problem. I said the word Segway earlier. You want me to go back and get it?
Speaking of families that have large vehicles, here's someone whose grandfather has a schooner.
Oh,
my grandpa is a ship's captain.
Yes, Captain.
He also used to be in vaudeville.
Where are we?
I asked him once why fire engines are red. He said a newspaper is red, too. And 2 is 4. And 4 is 8. And 8 4 is 12. And 12 inches is a ruler. And Queen Elizabeth is a ruler.
But for now, I send my thanks and warmest good wishes to you.
And Queen Elizabeth is a ship that sailed the sea.
A vast sea it is.
And there's fish in the sea. And fish have fins.
Well, I have fins.
Oh, that's what, sir?
And fins hate the Russians. And fire engines are always Russian. So that's why fire engines are red. He's also a pirate and 15th century artist Albrecht Dürer. I like my grandpa and 30 style variety shows. Bye.
My grandfather's friend Ed MacArthur had a boat. And my grandpa went to Bimini on a fishing trip with him and got real sick and then came home and died.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry, Lou.
Explain that there was a one-year gap between the trip and the death and they were unrelated.
Oh, yeah, he didn't die right away. That's just the next major event in his timeline.
Did your family have a boat, Butchie?
Oh, yes, we had a boat. Our yacht, the Golden Bippy. We would sail from Cape May all the way to the Bahamas, and I would study with my tutor, Squire Trelawney.
Man, what a life.
I think he's being sarcastic.
I don't know. Then what's this ashtray that says the SS Golden Bippy?
I ain't lying. My grandpa won it off of Dan Rowan in a whist game. He had to set fire to it, though, because he couldn't afford it.
While you did have it, isn't it a good thing to be able to just go?
A good thing?
Yeah, to be able to travel, just go. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, well, not really. It's a neutral thing. Like, I don't want most pirates to travel. Or disease.
Well, but you want people to just do something.
You are encouraging actions with no accompanying morality. What do you think's going to happen now?
Let's go somewhere. Neutral. You can go straight to hell or to a well. Going is neutral. Everybody shout, let's go out, let's explore or something more. Neutral. Looking there, looking here. Looking is neutral. Action. everybody is for action.
Going is neutral.
Action is neutral. Let's go, go somewhere. We don't care. Going is neutral. You can go straight to hell or to a well, because going is neutral. Everybody shout, let's go out. Let's explore something more. Looking is neutral. Action, action, action. Some are good, some are whack. Some
going is neutral.
The Hatfield and McCoys had family outings. I guess there's a difference between shooting neighbors and hiking or spelunking. If my family explored a cave, I don't even know what. I can't picture it. There's some people, like my Uncle Victor, I just can't see him in a cave.
Don't people in the future go camping on asteroids?
That's not camping, and shut up.
Yes, Lou, what a crazy, fanciful idea.
It's not fanciful. We went and saw that site.
Lou?
Oh, right.
Remember how when you do fun but adventurous things, there are certain rules and a certain amount of discipline required to not, let's say, tear up the universe?
Yes, like leave only footprints and take only feet, or time, or souvenirs or something.
Did either of you guys have a memory of your family giving you some special knowledge?
I learned some rituals from my grandma, mostly for removing negative obstacles from people's paths.
That's nice. And Butchie?
My granddad, Saul, said, don't sit on cold concrete or the cold goes up your butt and gives you a virus.
Well, that's interesting advice.
He was a doctor, too, I think.
Really?
No, not a doctor. What's the guy who cuts up meat?
A butcher?
Yeah. They work at the hospital, right?
No.
Grandpa Saul's my mom's stepdad, so I don't even know him that well, to be honest.
He's alive?
I don't know if he ever was. Like I said, I didn't grow up around the cat.
Well, if growing up is... Oh, dang it again. Some kids get to work with their parents, but our friend here gets to do something even more adventurous.
I can hardly wait.
Well, you don't have to, Lou.
Excellent.
Because we're going to run that right now.
I ultimately had to wait, but turns out I could, so let's go.
Play it.
My uncle and my mom are dream divers.
You are the center.
Center.
We go into alternative dimensional consciousness to look for game pattern artifacts.
Not the
center. You are not the center.
You have to train a very long time in a free mind pool before you can go ADCON diving.
Dive.
My mom is the instructor. She showed us how to use the assumption regulator and time our dives.
Time.
Everything?
Sometimes we find little pieces of past truths that have been discarded and rebuilt on. Once, I found a geocentric worldview in some reason scat.
Matter.
And nothing.
Matters.
I'm really lucky to get to go with my mom and uncle on dives and learn about consciousness vis-a-vis false collective knowledge. It's neat.
What?
What do you know?
What do you
I was scared at first, but floating in an experiential sea free from any firm foundation of thought is pretty exciting, and I hardly ever get scared anymore. Bye.
Levi's.
Today, we are standing in a suburban garden that may be the landing site of an otherworldly craft, or an ancient temple, or a prison burial site, or the estate of the Grand Empress Hasmata. Any one of those things would be exciting, and there's a chance that we may find evidence of all those things. Sightfinder Hans, what are you thinking?
I chose this site because it's my backyard. And I knew if this was going to be a big job, it would be good to be close to the equipment and all. I have a mini fridge in the Florida room, so if any of you need seltzers, it's stocked.
Butchie, what's your prediction?
I say you dig and find mostly dirt. And then you keep digging until you dig through the ceiling of a cave and plunge to your death.
We know that if this is the Empress Hasmata's palace, we could find life-sized gold horses.
If by life-sized gold horses you mean cicadas and old dog poop,
agreed. We never know what's there until we start digging.
Nope, it's sometime after that, and sometimes never.
Keep digging. You're not going to find anything.
If you look right there in trench one, that looks like furniture dust to me. Right there. In the topsoil.
I think...
Or a tooth.
Actually bored, so I can mess it out. To be honest, I'm pretty bored too.
My uncle and his friends have a radio show.
You can't be bored. You could go to the
they
bar,
joke around a lot and pretend to be time travelers. If you ask me, they also pretend to be broadcasters. My uncle sometimes talks for a long time in a row, or the show is just him and his friends having coffee. That seems really boring to me. I think adults listen to very boring things, like church or podcasts. One of the people he does the show with isn't really a person, but I'm not supposed to say anything. My mama says when time ends, you get to never have to sleep, but get to work long hours in the kingdom of sky glory.
Play what?
That doesn't sound too good.
You're gonna play bocce on a 3-foot.
The guy on Uncle Hardy's show says dying is like taking a nap, but no one interrupts you.
Do people take children there?
It's sad, but
I like having an uncle on radio. I guess it's cool. Bye.
Hi, I'm Art, and I really like Hardy's show. I love the wisdom and the confusion and all the friends he has on, like Lou and Charles Nelson Reilly. It's a really, really fun show.
Hi, this is Dan Talby, and I listen to Hardy White.
Hey, my name is Mr. Friend, and I listen to Hardy White quite a few times. Yeah, but Duke Sleep.
Hi, this is Zach. And I have a secret. Above a convenience store, I get the sustenance I need from Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White.
Hi, my name's Marie, and I listen to Hardy White, sometimes even in my sleep. Shemp jive, everybody.
You know, I don't understand the IRS, the mainstream press, or that mess I get in the mail, but Hardy makes sense. I'm on his side of the fence. Whither or
whence,
Socrates?
Hi, this is Mahatma Randy. You know, I don't read, speak, or understand English. But if I did, I'd listen to Hardy White.
This is Scott in Minneapolis. I'm listening to Hardy White. I don't know
what the heck else to do. Hey, Hardy. I like listening to your show falling asleep, laying down in bed. Time difference here in Moscow, Russia. Following the thread, going down, down, down. Like the logic, like the images. Stay safe.
I got hands, I got friends. I got big friends with big hand friends. I have forward on my gear shift, so I shifted the gear to go forward. I move toward. I set plans on ledges of bird toilets. I drop slim gauntlets onto sharp lawyers. I mop foyers. I talk loudly and then loud whisper. I got sisters in every city but Munster. I laugh tons and have fun. Stir drink with fingers and fun swizzle sticks.
Stop staring at me!
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't realize I was staring. I thought it merely a glance.
You were staring?
I beg your forgiveness.
Well, just stop staring.
Done.
Are you with anyone?
I am not.
Oh.
I am, however, waiting for someone.
Oh. Have fun with your friend.
He's not a friend, actually.
Slightly more.
Neither more nor less. I've never met him.
For whom do you wait?
Some chap named Hardy White, which sounds like a wine or a soup or a whale.
Hardy White? But I am meeting Hardy White.
It seems he's double booked. Popular fellow.
He is trying to jeopardize us.
Indeed, perhaps.
I feel so stupid.
Don't.
I want to feel special.
I think you are reading far too much into this.
Yeah?
Yes. Maybe he wanted us to meet. Bringing together different types of beings is something he enjoys, I heard. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, I'm glad you got my message and are meeting me here. Let's get out of here. You and I together. We get it. Let's get out of here. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes you just want to run away from it all. Run away from what? I don't know. Let's not run. Maybe we can sit away from it all. We just hide. Maybe if we're really still, no one will notice us, and they'll just go around. Or we get under the covers. The literal covers or the figurative ones? Is there some sort of imaginary blanket that we could throw over our heads? This is what I do. I have a chair that feels like maybe it's in a really, really cheap spaceship, like a really bad one. Maybe one assembled from 1990s office furniture. I don't know if there's any spaceships like that. I imagine there are. I've watched a lot of science fiction, and the things seem to be cobbled out of all sorts of stuff that usually you would find in, oh, I don't know, like the power room of a factory or something like that, or dials or an airplane. And they just repurpose them for like time travel or space flight. I believe in the early days of NASA, they did that. They said, hey, we can get a lot of the stuff that we can just get off of my Buick. And I think we can just put that on. And there they went to the moon like that. The rockets they have now are automatic. They were manual back then. And the astronaut would have to do the shifting and everything. And they have these kind of, they have like three buttons on the floor. You go, what that? Well, the brights and then eject the nose cone. And then the other is the, I think it's the old time clutch. And one is to heat the oil. And the other is an ejection seat in case the person next to you is not really your co-pilot, but an alien disguised as a co-pilot and peels off the rubber mask. You can print out, that's the thing, that's the problem with 3D printers now, is you can print out these rubber masks that make you look like anybody. And they're like on Mission Impossible or Doctor Who or something. You can, and if you rip, you go, I had no idea it was even a rubber mask. I see a lot of people like that at the store. I look at them and I think, I don't know that that's your head. I think that's something you put on like an alien head. I can't be sure. I'm going to err on the side of just saying, hey, no matter what you are or what Halloween mask you're wearing, deep down, you're probably biological. How about that? We all have things coursing through our veins. That terrifies me. That's why I'm glad you and I are just here together. Let's get on our ship. Let's get out of here. I love to be with you. And on our magic device, I don't know, let's pretend we don't know what it's called. What is this that we're talking to one another on? I don't know, you say. I have to pretend to hear you. Here's the interesting thing, though. You're really there. I mean, I pretend to hear you, but I know for a fact that you are listening to me, that you and I are together, that maybe we are both running, hiding, finding some sort of safety in each other's company, that we are finding refuge in my voice and your ear. Oh, and together, their voice ear, the mighty. And you can't be that by... Can we be ear voice? Ear voice is alphabetical order. I'm so sorry I didn't say, I'm so arrogant. Voice is so arrogant because they are doing the talking. But if they would listen carefully the way the ear does, ear voice sounds better. Like that, see? Now I listen and I learn. Oh, I'm glad I don't have a children's show because I wouldn't want to do something that would upset children or anything like that or confuse them too badly. I like when they're confused a little bit because they giggle, but I don't want to confuse them too badly. It'd scare them or something. But I listened to some old children's shows recently, and other than the ones that we obviously know are good, so many were, and I use this, I'm so sorry to use such a word as this, but absolute vile garbage. No, not really. I mean, maybe. Just not well done or dull. Or something done without any knowledge about what makes kids curious. I think if you know it's a good show, if a lot of adults watch it and go, this is stupid. Well, yeah, it's for children. You know, it's not for you. Or it's repetitious. That's another thing. Kids like that. Because they haven't seen it before. You've seen it before. So you need something fresh. Adults, idea-wise, need something so fresh, they even throw away fresh things. They need things so fresh. And yet, oh, why do we live in a world of sequels then? I do not know. These adults that I speak of, they often work against their own self-interest. And we don't understand that, and so we run away from them, you and I. Aren't we not adults? Well, we are what we say we are. And I think that's one of the things, say, people use it as an insult. So you haven't grown up, or you're immature or something. But I wonder if you cop to it and say, yeah, I don't really feel ready for a lot of stuff. You can't. They don't let you do that. You know, you're an adult, so okay. And then you're going to probably tell me I'm not, and I already told you that. So we're going to run into trouble. If you would believe me, I don't know whether this is such a thing. I think that there is a maturity that a lot of us expect of ourselves, or a wisdom. And we think, why isn't it coming? And say, well, it did. You thought you'd get a little more. But you're a little wiser than you think, probably, if you've lived on the earth for a while. And I don't know that you stick your hand on the metaphorical stove as often as you did. But I do not know that you were going to achieve some sort of Gandalf level of wisdom, probably. I feel like a helpless, silly, stupid beginner all the time, constantly. I imagine that's going to endure until I expire. But that might just be the place. And I realize that I've probably gotten good at something just doing it over and over again. I'm not sure I don't know what that is always. I think sometimes I do things more efficiently. Like, you know, fold clothes or just, you know, take care of yourself. There's certain things. It takes me much less time to brush my teeth now that I don't care. And that just comes with age. But other things I care more about. Oh, my goodness. These moments being together like that, these moments I do care about. And I care about us going someplace. So strap in your seat. We are going to travel to far off lands. Well, I was watching an Outer Limits the other day, and I was very disappointed because they were going to Venus. Yes, it was the one where William Shatner goes to Venus, and he comes home. And he's like, "Man, I'm so cold. Are you cold?" And you go, "Man, no, I'm not. You need a sweater or something. Are you okay?" That one. But when they were going to Venus, Venus was getting closer, but the stars were rushing by. And I wondered, I was trying, I'm going, man, I know that's not accurate. You know, the stars are very, very far away. And I guess they didn't know that in the early 60s. At least it didn't, I guess it hadn't gotten to Hollywood. So really, it wasn't common knowledge or something? But the stars are flying by and Venus is slowly, slowly coming into view. And I was trying to imagine, well, what were the stars, what could they be? I don't know, little, like, space cars or something are going by, but there'd be ones with red lights going in the opposite direction. So I couldn't suspend my disbelief enough. And then, when the Venusian finally swam into view in the window, I could not unsee the wires that held the voodoo doll marionette. And I remember that scared me as a child, though. And now, maybe not as a child, I'm thinking now as a college student. Perhaps I was, something to drink or something. I remember being as a child, but I bet it wasn't. I bet I was just confused, or it was a bad TV set, and I was in a bad frame of mind, because I don't think normally that would have scared me. Maybe it scared me more to think there's no hot beverage hot enough to take away this chill. Hi, I'm Hardy White. Do you find yourself on a cold winter morning shivering because your coffee or your cocoa is not hot enough? Oh, I know that feeling. That's why I drink pure fire. I pull it out of the air. I pull fire out of the air. I pull it out of my imagination. I pull it out of my head. There's electricity in everything. It is coursing through the veins of all that lives. I pull the fire out of the bellies of those who make calories, yes, as we create energy in our biological factories internally. We create heat. And from that heat, sometimes fire. You've seen when you're a kid, you say, oh, some people spontaneously combust. Who told you that? Leonard Nimoy on In Search Of. Well, he lied to you. Maybe not. Spontaneously? Some people do combust. I don't know, it's whether because they just catch fire for no reason. Some artists, that happens too. They not literally catch, well, some do catch fire because it's a dangerous environment. You're performing with flash things and lights. Some catch fire in the sense that they get very popular and nobody knows why. And that flame burns brightly for a while and then diminishes. Oh, all things burn bright and then diminish, do they not? Do they not? Yes. Some last longer than others. You know, a sparkler doesn't last as long as the sun.
Oh, that's very profound. Yep, I got a million of them.
You don't have to have a profound person keep you company. For instance, who is your, right now, who keeps you the most company?
My dog, cat, my cat dog. Cat.
Your cat or your dog, I bet.
My partner, maybe.
Maybe your partner, but probably your cat or your dog. Or your bird. Or some other creature. Some people have mice, sweet mice. There's all sorts of things that can keep you company. And they didn't speak to you. Sometimes you can't communicate in any sort of way. I'm not sure how I would communicate with some creatures that I might share my residence with. Like earwigs or something. I suppose they're here. I don't know what I want to say to them. No, let's just keep our distance. Because I think you like where you're living, under the carpet. And I like where I'm living. Everywhere else. I know that doesn't seem fair. Oh, my, I never thought of it that way. I'm sorry, you little earwig. Why don't you make yourself giant? We'll go get a tankard of ale at the inn. Really? I don't know. I mean, if it's going to be a giant earwig, why wouldn't it be like in Middle Earth or something? Middle Earth, that's just England. Is it not the same thing? England is just, I've never been there, so I can only imagine it. And sometimes I do, and I imagine, I have lots of friends there, so it must be real. And they seem to come and go from it. Not so much anymore. I am lucky. Say, why? How are you lucky? Oh, I know I'm lucky. Listen to this. Follow me. I'll put you in my pocket. I am a Weeblo. I am, how old? Fourth grade? Not sure. Or is that still a Cub Scout? Fifth grade? Not sure. Sixth? 10, 11? 12, 11? And we are selling some sort of chocolate bar. And I am to go door to door asking folks if they would like to support the noble and benevolent order of Weeblos, of which I am a member. You see, I am in uniform. It's a quasi-militaristic organization. And if you would support that, purchasing this item, which we get in bulk from companies that just do that, sell you expired food that you sell to people for charity. And so I was going around door to door in my blue cap and my kerchief, my red plaid kerchief, my tartan kerchief of the Clan McWeeblo. And I ring the doorbell of a posh residence, because what I'm thinking, well, a wealthy person would be a smaller portion of their worth or their income. So I didn't feel as bad. I thought, well, I don't want to ask people who can't afford it, because I bet they'd buy it anyway. So I'll ask the wealthy people, say it's like 50 cents or something at the time, because this was in the 1820s or something when I was a little child. And I rang the doorbell, and a gentleman answered, and oh my, he was a type of elderly man I don't know that they make anymore, that wore their pants at an impossibly high altitude, way up there. I couldn't see, I couldn't, there's clouds about at his crotch level and belly, and I suppose the belt was up there somewhere, but it was out of sight, and his face was one of those that sometimes you can age regress a person, say, I imagine what they look like as a young person. But this person's face had somehow been lost in these jowls and creases of negative expression. And I guess what I'm saying is that I don't know that the gentleman had ever used any kind of smile muscles, that he had ever raised his eyebrows as a way to bring some sort of comfort to somebody, to make someone feel at ease. He had never made anyone feel at ease. I was sure of that. And he looked down on me, and he scowled. And all his face rubber came together in that way that it does in scary pictures or on puppets. And he glared at me. And I said, "Hello, sir. I'm here selling for the Weebaloos these chocolate bars. And the proceeds will go..." And he said, "Do you have a permit to solicit?" And I said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "Do you have a permit to solicit? Hell's bells, you are on my private property trying to sell me something. There is no sales in this neighborhood. No, sir, not without a permit to solicit. Who do you think you are that you should approach me, that you should disturb me in the middle of my rest to try and sell me something? Hell's bells!" And he kept saying "hell's bells," and he said "hell's bells" so many times that the bells of hell's rung, and those rings, they shook me to my core. And as I was a scared little child, I'd never had an old man yell at me that way. I felt like a criminal, and I suppose actually I was one. And I said, "I couldn't agree with you more." No, I didn't say that. I just cried and ran away, and I did not make the sale. I don't know that I need to add that. And I believe what happened after that is I told my mother, and then she went right marching right up to that door, and then he made her cry and threatened to have her arrested or something. I don't remember it very clearly, but sometimes you can't win. Sometimes you cannot win. There's no winning there, I guess, but there is a lesson. And I learned a valuable lesson. Not that I would ever have thought to do that to a child. But now I really don't. And I don't even dismiss children like that. I try to give them my full attention so they don't feel invisible at all. There's nothing worse. We start sometimes way young trying to, destroying children's confidence. Then we wonder what happened. So I learned something from that situation. Also, it's not fair to make children go and have to sell door to door, so I kind of resent my elders there a little bit. Can't you do? Is there no other way to fundraise? What about that thing where we throw a ball and you fall into the water? The adults, I think that's preferable. sending the little kids out, like Fagin-like, to sell for you. Here, go! And I was supposed to pick pockets, too. I never did that part. They get mad. I dump it there, empty my pockets. They were, "Where's all the cufflinks of the posh gentleman?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't want to be part of your, I don't want to be a waif. I don't know what I am anymore. What, a ragamuffin? I'm not sure. But I think I'm getting out of here. I'm going rural. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go be a rural waif. And I would just get a job in a store, maybe. So bless y'all, and I will see you in 100 years. So here we are in our spaceship. The problem, as I see it, is that this space travel thing is very lengthy. So it's the equivalent of maybe driving from California to New York several times over. And you think, wouldn't you run out of stuff to talk about? Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. The madness. At what stage does the madness hit? Well before you even get to the next planet. For me, I just go, this is something else. And that lie that would be put in stasis or something, it's not true. Also, imagine waking up. A lot of these science fiction movies where that happens, somebody wakes up and like, oh, everybody else is dead. That's wonderful. What a treat. Now, I guess, what do I do? I don't want that situation or anything. So I'm glad that it's just you and I in this ship, that we are able to go anywhere in the universe that appeals to us. And it's interesting and telling that we can't think of anywhere to go. I know that happens all the time. It's like getting, oh, where do you want to eat? I don't know. I can't even name a food. Name a food. I can't think of a food. Well, just name a food. Name it like a cuisine. I can't name a type of food, much less a cuisine. What do you mean? Like, name a, what is the one that's like, ah, it's brown, is it brown or white? Oh, I don't even know. I can't name anything. That has happened to me around dinner time. And you just don't know what you want. Well, can we skip it? I can't skip it. I feel like I'm going to vomit acid. So that's trying to make decisions to think of something. And somewhere to go? That's even harder. Where do we go? So it's a real place? No, it's literally anywhere you can even make it up. Oh, how burdensome. So I have to do some world building or something before I can even go to the world? That's like one of those you cooking places. There was a restaurant in my town. It was a steak place. They bring you a raw steak at your table, and then you get up and there's a communal fire pit thing. You put your steak on there, and it takes like a year, and you got to stand there with it. And you go, this is ridiculous. Could have done this at home. And that, any kind of place, you go, I'm a sucker. I would just have people come back in the kitchen and say, what would you like? I'd like that quinoa salad thing. Say, all right, come on back. Come on back. What are we doing? Come on back to the kitchen. I want to say, this is a theme restaurant. What do we do now? That's the freezer, and that's how you make your quinoa salad. All right. Recipe's on the wall. And they're going to get that close because there's restaurants that are getting that close now. They're super close. They have all, you could serve yourself, cook yourself. They're thinking, how can we not even show up now? They can just walk in an empty place, just walk in. There's a kitchen, and everybody's just, it's a communal restaurant-sized kitchen. People are cooking their own stuff in silence. That's the future. No, it's not. I don't think it is. I think you and I are the future. I think you and I knowing to get together like this, that we need to retreat for a while, that we need to run away, that we need to take a vacation. Did you ever see that Jacques Tati? Monsieur Hulot goes on vacation, and he goes to the coastal France. He goes up there like northwest France. And he goes out there and tries to go fishing, but maybe the fishing line gets caught on somebody, and then they bump into a car, and then the car runs over the dog, which flips this lady's egg in the air. I don't know, something like that. That's that. What do you mean? That's a vacation. A vacation is when you are able to have enough time and attention to notice the ridiculous, to notice how things are interrelated, how they cause one another, how they are in a harmonic web of interconnectivity. You can just watch things with no goals. But if you're thinking about stuff all the time, and we are all the time. But if you can just have a little space where you can just throw the ball off the wall, a little space where you can draw nonsense. You need a little time. You need a little room to do nothing. You need a little room to let it all sink in, to let it all dance around in there. Stop going through it. It's hard to go through when it's fresh like that. Let it dry out. I let all that information dry out a bit. Then I can work with it better. When it's fresh and green like that, oh, it just stinks the place up, gets my hands all sticky and weird. I need to step away from information for a while. I need to tap into something vast and eternal and ocean-like and grand. And I need to lose myself in that for a while. Oh, join me now, won't you? What's going on outside? I don't know. Why the confusion, Hardy? I got to spin you around in circles for a while. I got to flash the lights. I got to turn off the lights. I got to turn them back on. I got to come back in different costumes or different masks. I got to do different voices. I have to play the music loud and then soft. I got to play classical music and then I got to play nothing at all. There has to be critics? I want to say crickets so bad, but it's come out critics. Why is that?
Is that because that I think that that sound in the night, all that clicking and everything, that that's directed at me, that it's saying, you're not doing this right, all that noise? When I misspeak, do I take that as a criticism? Is my tongue tying itself? Is it trying to crawl back in my mouth to keep me from articulating any particular point? Because once I say something and make it concrete, then all the possibilities fall away, don't they? But if I say everything and nothing at all, then they remain. And I can keep speaking. Because I didn't say anything concrete. I didn't put an image in your head. I didn't say something like a beautiful peach sitting on a 1 foot square of astroturf. It's right in the center, that peach. And the astroturf is stiff. And the astroturf may tear the peach's delicate flesh if you should press down on it. Next to the peach is a penny. Next to the penny is an elephant, a life-size elephant. And on top of the elephant is a cathedral. And on top of the cathedral are we. And we stand there and you say, is there a peach down there? And I go, what do you mean, between the elephant and the astroturf? Ha ha, we laugh. Between the elephant and the astroturf, there lies the fruit of our interaction, of our camaraderie, of our siblinghood. I am so glad to be connected with you and alive at this time. We live in an age. We're all living in that age. And we'll all die in that age. Can you imagine? We were born, we lived, and we did things wrong and right, and then we died, wrong or right. And we did things. And we saw things. And we figured some things out. And we took them to the grave with us. Some things we left. We say, hey, here's a great way to make coleslaw. You make it creamy like that. No, you don't. You make it vinegary. Who knows what you left in the world? You know what's so disturbing, and we don't think about it often. There's two ways to think about it. Say, oh, if the world is destroyed, I guess eventually it will be. But we seem to all have a hope that our species or the knowledge or somehow the information or the record of our existence will continue through the living, that there will always be living. Now, if all biological life was to end, and there was no record of our existence, no memory, no one in the universe to remember it, all the information that does exist broken up into radio waves, particles, it might still be there, but perhaps it can't be reassembled. Say, oh, I'm hopeful, I believe it'll be reassembled. Oh, you believe because you are hopeful. Because the opposite seems hurtful, but maybe it's not. Oh, nothing is something. The answers that you seek, if I gave something to you, if you found an answer and you felt good about it, you know, what if it's wrong? Oh, my goodness. I bet it is. I bet some of the answers are wrong and some are right. And I live with both. And I don't think all are wrong or all are right. And I don't think that I know nothing. I just don't know what I don't know, and I don't know what I know. But I know that I must know. Right? Shut up. I am trying to shut up. Here's the thing. I am sitting in this command-like module chair. I am staring at something that I think is the view screen of a spaceship. I am speaking into a device that I am convinced pipes my voice through the entire ship. Hello, this is Captain Hardy speaking. We are currently cruising at a height, an altitude. Altitude doesn't really matter. You can't really describe yourself in relation to how far you are for a planet altitude. We are in space somewhere. I'm sure there's some three-dimensional way to plot it. I don't know.
I'm pretty visually familiar with the area, so I know where we are. We aren't lost. I just don't have a name for where we are. But we are right on course. I hope you are comfortable. I have control of the environment here, and I have set the temperature at a comfortable... holy cow, 143. I did not mean that. Whoops. Tick, 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 down, 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 down. Whoa, I'm sorry. Should you still be there? I am correcting that right now. I don't know what happened. I must have fat-thumbed it or something. I'm getting it down to 72 or 70. Well, I'll put it down to 70 now because y'all need to cool off a bit. I am so desperately. There we go. Sorry. That creeped up on me. But I know the humidity's okay because I just checked that. Yes, it's 50. It's less than 50%. That's good. You're good. Also, I was going to announce the movie tonight, but it's ridiculous. It's the future. It's a spaceship, just not one movie. I mean, if that's you want that, that's kind of... There's also... Well, there is a vinyl LP club on board. So I imagine that some of you do enjoy watching a film mechanically projected. I'd be into that. Okay. I think we should... I'm going to speak to the Anson shortly, and we're going to get that movie night thing back up. I think I've thought about that now. I know you can all watch it on your personal devices, but let's do that. Another thing is that we're all going to have to get shots before we get to until we get to Special Venus. Not Venus, not the one near Earth, Special Venus. But we're going there, the man-made one, and we were going to get inoculated before we go there. So I want you all to see Doc. I call him Veins. It's the play on bones. So go see Veins and get your shot, and we'll all go down and have some fun on the fake Venus. Oh, these are things we can do together because we've discovered one another. It's like we're two islands that have bumped into one another. No. It's like we're two explorers that have bumped into one another, and we've discovered one another, and we each think the other's an island. It's very wacky, but that's okay. Because what we have sustains us, gives us something to enjoy and look forward to, something to lose ourselves in. That's what I want to hear, and that's what I want to give to you, something to lose yourself in. But not something that's going to make you feel anything but that wonderful sense of disorientation that you feel when you're in the womb after you've had too much to drink. That's a rare occurrence, but I want you to feel that. I love you. I'm being silly. I'm only being silly because I'm fighting, because I'll tell you what, it's hard to bring joy when you bring sentimentality. It is often like, it's like putting capers on the dessert. You don't want to do that. We love salty. I love savory things. But I do not want cornichon on my fudge sundae. It's like you're a pregnant cartoon character, if you did. I am so glad to be with you. We are so lucky to be on this wonderful radio station. Say, you're on it. I'm not on it. You're on it, on the dial and everything. You should get a real radio. If you're not listening on one, they're so fun. Just get a cheapy. If you live in New York, New Jersey, go get a cheapy radio and listen. You should listen to FMU on the cheapy radio with the static and all. I'm telling you, it's best that way. Maybe even mono with an earpiece. That's the way the old timers did it. Oh, I think you're going to like it. My friend, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, New York, where miracles happen and coincidences happen and strange things happen and orange scarf incident. And in New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. Does it count if I do it so poorly? I think it does. I think it still counts. Your Honor, I got out all the words just in order, just not in a timely fashion. I find the defendant not guilty of being incompetent broadcaster. Thank you, sir. And thank you, listeners, and I'll see you again next week.
stop me.